So we're dealing with discipleship here, and the page at 17 in the handout that I've given you passed, and I've got some more sheets here if you don't have one or some reason.
Are they the original ones or are they new ones? I mean, the ones
page 17, same one I've been dealing with. So, I mean, they would be, many of you would have them, but there may be some folks that inadvertently, for some reason, didn't bring their Sunday school paper to church today. So, everybody failed at that point, raise their hand. All right. So, we're dealing with giving. And what the Bible says about supporting the house of God. The Bible talks about tithing. The English word tithe means one-tenth. The Hebrew word behind this means one-tenth. So there's nothing complicated or confusing about that. Tithing is a biblical practice that was practiced in... at least 500 years before Moses wrote the law, practiced by Abraham. Abraham gave tithes. If you got any more? Yeah. Abraham tithed Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14. Abraham was long before the law. Then Moses wrote. Moses said the tithe belongs to the Lord. And then in the New Testament era, in the Lord's lifetime, he commended the scribes and Pharisees on tithing and said that they ought to do these things, but they can't leave out righteousness and godliness and so on. So no one can say tithing is part of the law. We're not under the law. We're not Old Testament, we're New Testament, we don't have to tithe anymore, we just give whatever happens to be in our pocket. No, tithing is the Lord's principle for all saints and all dispensations. And so, if you're a saint of God, you need to tithe. Now, where do you tithe? Well, you tithe to the house of God. Where is that? Well, in this dispensation, it's the local church. So you don't use your tithe on other things. You don't use your tithe on... supporting other Christian groups. You don't send your tithe to some other church. You don't send your tithe to some radio ministry or use your tithe to buy Christian books or something like that. The tithe goes to the local church. And so this is the Lord's plan. I say all those things that I know our church members are well versed in practice this, but... within Christianity as a whole, there's a real confusion on all of this. And when we were down south, there was a Christian radio station, BBN, still down there. And so every year they'd have, twice a year, they'd have a telethon, I guess it was, where they appealed to their audience. And they said, since we're commercial-free, we don't use commercials, somebody has to pay for the finances of this Christian radio station, so we're appealing to the Christians there to send their money in to support this radio station. So they put out preaching, they put out music and so on, but in that whole scenario, they had a great variety of preaching. They had sometimes they had Baptists there, sometimes they had Reformed Presbyterians on there and so on. So you've got a whole ecumenical mix there. And then the wording that they used or the music that they used covered the whole spectrum there. But they wanted the Christians to send their tithes and offerings in to the radio station to support this. And, of course, this many, many people did that. They raised thousands, thousands of dollars. This is what we call parachurch ministry. It wasn't under any local church. And they took the tithes and offerings that could have and should have gone to local churches to their radio station. Now, their argument was, we're reaching so many people. We're reaching so many more people than any local church could. But keep in mind, they were reaching many people with some bad theology, in the Reformed theology. They were teaching many people with some loose music, you might say. I mean, so they had the whole spectrum of music. So there's a lot of good mixed in with bad, but the whole point here is it doesn't matter what you try to say about how much good you're doing. If you're not doing it the Lord's way, it's not valid. You need to do good the Lord's way and not your way. And so this is the idea. But there are many institutions like that or others that are appealing for money. And so believers need to give to the local church. Now, we've gone through many of these verses here. We looked there at Malachi chapter 3, 8 through 10, about robbing God. So those that don't tithe, rob God. That's what the Lord says. Remember, the Lord gives you anything and everything you have. You look at the clothes on your back. Who gave those to you? Why buy them in the store? No, who gave you the opportunity to have income to purchase them? Everything you have is what the Lord has allowed you to have. And so it all belongs to Him. But He allows us to keep 90% of our income, but He wants 10% of His money. He allows us to keep 90% of His money. And He promises us that we can get by on 90% of His money, but we're not going to get by on 100% of His money. Now, I realize that doesn't work in the secular world. No business would run things that way. But this is a faith proposition. See there in Malachi, he says, prove me. Prove me. And so it's a matter of faith. So we trust him. And the next passage here, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, the local church is the storehouse. So Paul said, lay by him in store. So all of our money goes into the storehouse, the local church's storehouse. Then the fifth point here, 2 Corinthians 8, 5, Christian giving starts by giving oneself to the Lord. If we'll give ourselves to the Lord, our pocketbook will follow. And then point six here, he challenges people, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, so on. So the Lord encourages giving because of the reciprocal receiving. And then verse 7, Christians are to give from what they have and not from what they don't have. So that's what 2 Corinthians 8:12 says. And I talked there about faith promise. Faith promises saying, if the Lord gives me extra, or I believe the Lord is going to give me extra this year, and I'm going to give that extra to the Lord. No, you give from what you have, not from what you're anticipating you might have. And the passage says that. It makes it very clear. For if there be first a willing mind, 2 Corinthians 8:12, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So this is the Lord's promise. And then there's the principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. The more you give, the more you'll reap. The more seed you throw out, the more return you'll get. This is a principle the Lord gives, but you have to trust Him in all of this. And sometimes people might say, well, the Scripture appeals to our old nature. We give, we get. But really, no, it's appealing to our faith. See, if it appealed to our old nature, all unsaved people would jump on this and say, this is the way I'm going to get wealthy. But they don't. In fact, many Christians don't even respond to this as a faith proposition. It's not a natural proposition. It's appealing to the faith of a believer rather than the old nature of a believer or unbeliever. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 7 talks about let a man give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So he wants you to enjoy this and be a cheerful giver. All right, then we come to point 10 here. And this is Philippians 4, chapter 4, 15 and 16. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And comes right after Ephesians, so Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Paul says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." All right, now Paul says that the Philippian church gave to him. All right, now, if you remember the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13 and 14 talk about Paul's first missionary journey. Then 15 through 18 talks about his second journey. In chapter 16, so it falls in this category of 15 to 18. Chapter 16, he went to Philippi and started the church. And then he went on to Thessalonica and started another church. So when he says that the Philippian church was the first church to start supporting him as a missionary, that means they were the ones that started supporting him on a second missionary journey. See, who supported him on the first missionary journey? Paul had to work with his hands, and he made tents. And Barnabas, who went with him, may have used his own money to support himself. So these men went out. And then later on, the Philippian church began to give. And so I think this indicates there is a place for churches to give money to missionaries. And so Paul indicates that they did this several times to him when he was in Thessalonica. So the fill in the word there is churches need to give to missionaries. And we attempt to do that as well. So we receive tithes and offerings in our church. And our church is built on and supported by tithes and offerings. And the Lord has blessed our church through these 6 years on tithes and offerings. And the money's come in and supported this ministry. And from this, then, we give some of our money. At this point, we give 15% of the general fund to missionaries. And so we do give the missionaries. We give right now about four, or maybe five, but at least four missionaries that either have come out of our church or we've had here and so on. So we give to missionaries, and this is beneficial, this is needful, and so on. And we want to do that, and we'd like to be able to continue to do that and give as much as we can, for that matter. So Paul was thankful for that, and he was supported. Now notice in the passage, because it's going to lead in the next verse as well, in the passage he says in verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So Paul knew that the Lord was going to take care of him. He knew that. He'd lived that life. He'd had many, many experiences of that. So he was encouraging them to give so that the Lord would reward them. He was wanting them to encourage them to give so the Lord would bless them, you see. So this wasn't self-serving. He wasn't going around trying to become very wealthy. He was encouraging them to give so that they would be remunerated by the Lord and blessed by the Lord. So we see his heart. He says that. Notice in verse 18, he says, "But I have all and abound and am full." Well, the Lord met his needs, took care of him. Took care of him through the years and so on. It says, "Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So they gave sacrificially. Sometimes people think, I've said this before, but I'm rehearsing these things because we need to get these things down. Some people, and I've heard Christians say this, when I start making a lot of money, then I'll start giving. And so I'll have so much money that it won't even hurt me to give. No, giving needs to be sacrificial, you see. And if you won't give when it's costing you and it's sacrificial, you're not going to give when it doesn't touch you at all. The millionaires of the world, most of them don't give much. Other than, and there are some Christians, but I'm saying you look at all the politicians that have to report their giving and so on, and presidential candidates and so on. They're all multimillionaires, and you look at the dinky amount that they give. It's one politician, no doubt making the millions, came in. He gave the charity $700. I mean, this is just pocket change. It's just to say I've done something. This didn't cost them anything. So it's giving sacrificial. And you might say, then that means I have to give up something that I like in order to give to the Lord. Well, yes. Yeah, you might have to give up some things. This starts weaning down things in your life that maybe you don't need, things that are not beneficial and so on. And so the Lord wants us to give sacrificially. And so that's what he says here. It's a sacrifice. It's acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And then notice verse 19. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, many people cite that. The Lord is going to supply my need. But remember, he's saying this to a church that's tithing. You know, if you're not tithing, don't claim the verse. They don't claim the verse if you're not tithing. God will supply all my need. No, this is to those that honor him in their tithes and offerings. We see that that fits into point 11 there. Point 11, page 17. Those who give can expect the Lord to meet their need. By the way, the word is need, not want. Meet the need. And so the Lord does this. He meets the needs and so on. Giving to the Lord is spiritual. It's a spiritual activity. It's the way you worship God. It's part of your worship. We worship God in prayer. We worship God in singing. We worship God in hearing the word of God, responding to it. We worship God in giving. This is part of your worship. So don't miss out on this part of worship. Now, the issue here of giving is significant. And the tithe belongs to the local church. I remember one time when we traveled down to Bob Jones University, we went down there and we were with a missionary friend who came and visited us and so on. And so he was talking to somebody there on campus about how he was struggling. I mean, somebody asked him how he was doing with missions and so on. So he was talking to him about how he was struggling with financially and praying that the Lord meet his need. And he's being challenged, Sean. I mean, he wasn't seeking anything. He was just expressing, it's a challenge right now for us because we've got things going on. So here this student on campus said, the Lord's leading me to give my tithe to you. And you don't give your tithe to people who come along here. You give your tithe to the local church. Of course, that was their teaching. They teach some big universal body, so the idea is anything in this big universal body of Christendom, you can give your tithe to. And so that's how all these parachurch ministries are supported. They're supported by the believers' resources rather than going to local churches. When this happens, then local churches suffer, and they can't have as large an outreach as they would like to have because they don't have the income to bring that in. Now the in something like this, the thing that we are opposed to is this idea of a big mystical church. Mystical church. And mystical church here, basically, the false idea, it refers to all believers. All believers. No, in the Bible, church refers to a congregation of baptized believers. That's what it refers to. It doesn't refer to anything else. But this is all believers. So in this, all believers are in this big church. Any religious organization over here is part of the big church. And so here the individual, rather than, here's the, this way. Here's an individual. He is in a church. So this represents church. Church really people, but represents the church. Here's an individual. And although he's in a church, many have been taught the wrong way, that rather than giving to the church, you give to something big over here. And something that really can accomplish the world work, because my little local church can't do much. And when that idea comes in, it certainly can't do much because it doesn't have the resources. But we can only do as much as the resources that we have allow us. So some people think, well, that's a limit. So let's use our idea to try to generate resources to do God's will. So these organizations, they get big donors here and seek money from all sources here so they can do the big work of God. But when they do the big work of God, the big work of God is highly watered down, number one. Really, the main problem here is you're doing the Lord's work, but you're not doing it His way. And so it's never going to be blessed as it would be through the local church. And so many folks do that. Now, some of these these religious organizations are called mission boards. All right, we believe in missions and so on. And we believe in mission boards. And so Bible Baptist Church is the mission board for the four or five missionaries that we have supported. We are the mission board, if you want to use that word. The mission boards are these organizations that are outside the local church. They are run by some president, not a pastor. They have their own financial statement. They answer to no local church. And they have quite often big, beautiful buildings, and they have to pay a salary to the staff and so on. And so mission money that comes from missionaries goes to buy all these things, so that then the individual can be sent out by the mission board. And the mission board, you see, says we've got great clout. We've got great clout all over the world. And so we can deal with governments and we can help pay your taxes and your retirement and do all these things. And and yet the missionary here is under the control of the mission board. And quite often these mission boards say, 10% of the support money you get comes to us. 10% of the money you get comes from us. And then when an individual, and this is going on in Europe, and so some of the men that are in these classes are missionaries sent out by the United States under a board and so on, and they started churches and so on, but now they're learning some biblical teaching here, and so they've made some decisions in the past that haven't been biblical, so now they've got to try to conform their situation to a biblical situation. It really makes things difficult for them. But quite often when a missionary is sent out to start a church, all right, so we've sent some men out to start a church, and So some of you, when we sent out Brother Lawrence, you might remember, I told him, Now, when we send you out to start a church, you need to do that right away. And they did within a few weeks. It was what? It was the 1st of January last year, I believe it was. All right? And I said, until you start that church, you're still a member of our church. And you give your tithe to your church. So they did. They sent their tithe in. But I say, the day you start that church out there, your tithe belongs to the church you started, and don't you send it back here. No, those are uncommon words. Those are uncommon words. Because these mission boards will say, number one, we're sending you out, so the church is really our church. Your membership is back here, maybe in a church of the mission board. That's within the mission board category. And so what has happened here is these missionaries are sent out, but their membership stays back here. And then the missionary has to send his tithe back to his sending church that's within the mission board movement here. So he's not a member of the church he starts. His own tithe doesn't even support the church. And quite often, he doesn't teach tithing. And so when the missionary leaves this foreign church, the people are expecting American money to keep the thing rolling. And once the missionary leaves, nobody's tithing, nobody's supporting this, and these churches dry up. This happens all over the world. Happens all over the world. So the money is right. It has to be used the right way, and it is needed for the Lord's work, but it needs to be done the Lord's way. And some of these churches, adding to this, now the men that have made some unbiblical decisions in the past they realize what they've done, so they need to try to correct these things. So some of them are having to make hard decisions here. And but some of them will take from their take a missionary appointee into their church to train them for a little bit. But when the missionary appointee comes into their church, they don't require that missionary appointee to be a member of the church. So the missionary appointee may be there for a year. They don't require him to join. And so the missionary appointee, he sends his tithe back to his home church. Well, when we've had individuals come here, so we've had the Liao family, and when we're back at Emmanuel, but when the Liao family came, and when Delishu came, remember him, when he came, I told him, if you're going to come here and stay for a period of time, 6 months or so, then you're going to join this church. You're going to be a church member here, and your tithe belongs here. When you leave, you go back to your wherever you want, and you join that church, your tithe stays there. Now, I'm not doing this to make money. I'm doing this because this is biblical. You give to the church of which you're a member. And if we're going to have people in here for a few weeks to try to learn about how learn the Word of God, and they transfer in and so on, then they're going to become members. And because how else could they serve in our local church? How could they participate in the Lord's Supper? How could they help finance and so on? But some of these men are taking in these missionary appointees into their local church, and they don't become members. They send their tithe back to their sending church. They report back to their pastor. The pastor back here is their pastor, and he's the authoritative one and not the pastor of which they are ministering in. And there's been several times when the missionary appointee didn't agree with the church, the pastor under whom he's studying or learning. He sides with the pastor back home, and then there becomes a major conflict here. Now, this is going on all over the world, and it's a model that fundamentalism has forced on independent Baptist churches. These men are independent Baptists, but some of them have come out of fundamentalism here, and they've got major problems because of this model. I think the model that's closest to Scripture is the one that we've practiced here. We send men out from here if we decide to support them and so on. We can, but we send them out from here. Once they start a church, they're a member there. Once they start a church, they give their tithe to the church of which they're a member. They don't send their tithes back in. And but it's very rare for a pastor to say, I'm sending one of these young missionary appointees to a field. You study under a seasoned missionary for a year or so, and then you can go out from there and start a church. But it all goes back to here. And the big issue here is the pastors want the income. They do. They say, we want your tithe back here. And we want your membership here. So one missionary, when he went out and started a church, he started a church, but when he came at odds with the sending church, the church said, since you've been under us and the church you started is under us, and we're at odds now, you have to leave the church that you started because this church is our church, and we'll send another man in to handle this church. And this is so unbiblical. Unbiblical, but this is what these missionaries are facing today. So there's a lot going on. Finances is very important in the Lord's work, but that needs to be handled biblically and not in an unbiblical manner. But there's so much that's been done unbiblically. Now, I'm not saying unethically, but unbiblically. So much has happened here. And so we want to have a biblical pattern here. And attempt to do the Lord's work here and so on. So when I go to these different places and try to instruct these men, they want the Bible instruction, but they realize, you know, I've made some bad mistakes in the past. Now, we all have, but they've made some bad mistakes that when they try to correct them, it's really going to cost them. It's complicated. It's going to cost them. So one man right now is facing in a different situation. He allowed somebody just to walk away from the church for 2 years, badmouth him and everything else, never dealt with the man or the family. Now the family's come back and sits in his services and so on, but they don't want to join. They never stopped being a member, but they left situation, but now they don't think they're members. It's just a confused situation. So I'm trying to counsel him in this, and he says now they've come back. They sit in the church membership, and they try to be very friendly and give gifts to people in the church and so on, and so the people really are endeared towards them, but they're the people have left in a bad situation, and so the pastor says, if I deal with them now, I might lose some other people. So it's complicated, but he needs to step in and deal with some of these things, and it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them. So many poor things that are being done, but a person would never know this unless they went to the mission field. And so we want to check out where our money goes and see how it's been used and so on. There are scams out there within fundamentalism, especially people who are not doing what the churches think they are doing. Now we put no size limit on the size of a church once it's sent out. Brother Davidson's church never grows by over, say, 10 people. So what? Now, we're not putting any pressure on him. Right now, by the way, I might mention, with the Lawrences, Mrs. Lawrence is still back there in Ohio with the, where is it? Well, New York, yeah, New York, with their son. He's not healing well. Jesse, their crippled son's not healing well because of the operation I had. But anyway, so Brother Jim right now is all by himself out there. He is having a visitor, but we're not putting any pressure on him. I mean, it's his church now. Even if we put pressure on him, you know, but we're not doing that. We're not going to say, if you don't have some results real soon here, we're cutting the money off. Now, some churches do that. That's why there's pressure on missionaries. I've got to have something going here. First thing I've got to do is buy a building. That makes it look like I've got things going. They go about the whole thing wrong. And so we going to these foreign fields is a real eye-opener. All pastors ought to do this. They ought to check out where their money's going. And when you do, then you find out the good and the bad. Right there in Bangalore, India, where Enoch Kumar is, we've had him here several times and so on. We've given him one-time love gifts. But right there in the same city, very large city in India, another one of my graduates is there. And so he has a completely different approach. I didn't learn it for me, but has a different approach. He tries to bring in anybody from the states that have money and of the whole spectrum. And so he brings in preachers and receives support from all types of churches for the money. And so the only way I would have known that, because I've got two men who are graduates in the same city and so on, trying to reach Indians, is that going there and finding out what's going on. And so the missionaries, for instance, they need to be careful. If they need support money, but some of them are so broad-minded they'll take support money from anybody. But they really shouldn't take support money from some church that they wouldn't be comfortable with joining. And that's usually not the case. So the use of money in the Lord's work is of extreme importance. It's extremely important here. But when money comes in, we have to be stewards with it and be biblical with the handling of the Lord's money in this church. That's what we attempt to do. And yet, if not, as I've seen on many fields, there's much confusion and problems that are created. And so many decisions are made based on money. So sometimes the missionaries will say, you know, if I take a hard doctrinal stand, I may not get the support I need. Okay, so what is it? Doctrine or money? Let's see. Where's my deal? Where's my God? You know, who am I serving? And sometimes pastors have to look at that and operate on that basis as well. If I deal with this individual, they might leave, and they're bringing in big income. So I've got to, you know, take care of my message so I don't offend people. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to see people leave, but when they do. But this is one reason I don't want to know who gives what. As far as I know, everybody here gives and so on, and faithful, and but I don't know who gives, who doesn't. So I have the great freedom to preach here. And if somebody doesn't like what's going on here, wants to leave or move on or whatever, that, you know, I don't, my appeal is not to them, stay because we need your money. Please tell me what you want me to say so we can keep you to get your money. If I ever get to that place, I might as well resign. I'm not going to do that. So, and so what I'm trying to say is you can't buy me. You can't buy me, and you shouldn't be able to buy any pastor.
Right.
And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Well, anyway, giving to the Lord's work is important. There's a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. And I've seen so many examples of the wrong way to do it, and it doesn't honor the Lord, and in the end, it's very, very complicated. It hurts people, and it hurts the Lord's churches. It hurts the Lord's churches. And the Lord's church is the institution by which his whole work is to be done. We use Matthew 28 as the Great Commission, 28:19-20 as the Great Commission. But keep in mind there, as he's giving authority to his institution to do his work, which would be what? Discipling, teaching. He gives the sole responsibility of doing his work to the baptizing agency. This says baptize. This radio station I talked about earlier, BBN. I mean, they go after opposition, so I'm mentioning it publicly, BBN. They go after opposition, but they don't baptize anybody. So if the institution, the religious institution, doesn't baptize or can't baptize, or they don't baptize because they know they can't, then they're not a New Testament church. Amen. And they're not authorized to do the Lord's work. Did you know the only people that are authorized divinely to hand out tracts be church members? Now, there are a lot of Christians that hand out tracts. And it doesn't mean that they can't win somebody to Christ, but they don't have divine authority to do that. And I believe they'll lose at the judgment seat of Christ. An atheist could hand out a tract to a person, and that person gets saved by reading that tract. Could do that. And because the atheist handed it out, that's not going to save him or not save him. It's the Word of God that saves. But that atheist somehow is not going to be then ushered into heaven because he won somebody through a tract. It has to do with his heart. He needs to get saved. Likewise, a non-church member who hands out a tract and sees somebody get saved, maybe that person gets saved, joins a local church, but that doesn't benefit the disobedient believer who's not a member of a local church. So anyway, there's a lot to recognize here on finances, but we want to handle ours as good stewards, and you folks need to know that, and then have the confidence when you do give that by God's grace, we're going to try to utilize the money to honor the Lord and not to use it in a poor way. All right, let's stop here. Our Father, we thank Thee for this time. We thank Thee for the opportunity to open the Word of God. We thank Thee for those that are here. Pray Thee bless in the service that follows. Give us a good Lord's Day, we ask. Help us to learn these truths, understand them, put them to practice, and continue to use them for Thy glory, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.